Content of this program is intended for people who are print and visually impaired. Hello, my name is Joe Austin, and I'm your host and producer for today's episode of Legal Matters, an original program produced in the Triangle Radio Reading Service studio. For the next half hour, we'll be exploring topics to champion your legal rights, to help you obtain equal access and full participation in your community, and to achieve your goals of independent living. Every fourth Tuesday of each month, you can find us here providing news and information from federal and state agencies, as well as from nonprofit organizations that promote information on law supporting independent living. Today, our special guest is Raina Walters Morgan. Hello, Raina, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
We're very excited to have you. And apropos to our upcoming election, Raina is the Voter Protection Project Manager for Democracy North Carolina, or Democracy NC. So, Raina, first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself. I know you're a lawyer, and I am too. Everybody's got to do something for a living, right?
Yes.
So, tell us a little bit about where you come from and your educational background and how you got to Democracy NC.
Okay. So I was born in Brooklyn, New York. My parents were both raised in the city, and my dad moved to North Carolina to go to college. He went to Fayetteville State, and we ended up in Greensboro once he graduated. He was a police officer for the Greensboro Police Department. So I grew up in Greensboro. I went to high school, elementary school, middle school, and high school there. Went to college at Chapel Hill. And I worked at the North Carolina General Assembly for a while, and I realized I wanted to go to law school, and I decided to make the move to Washington, D.C. I went to Howard University School of Law, and Howard was an amazing experience for me, and being in D.C. really allowed me to see government up close and personal. And so after I graduated, I did the big law firm thing for a while. I was at Social Security for 6 years. I was a staff attorney at Social Security Disability, doing disability adjudications and review. And I was there for 6 years. I got married and transferred with Social Security to North Carolina, but just felt like I wanted to do something different. And I'd always been involved in elections and voting, usually on my personal time. But the 2016 election really motivated me to want to do something a little more substantive on a regular basis. And so I left my job at Social Security to go work on a campaign, and I was doing voter protection work in Cleveland, Ohio. Loved it, enjoyed it. And when I came back down here, I was really looking for opportunities to do the same type of work.
How great. That's well, we're glad to have you, and glad to have you doing this important work. Tell us a little bit about Democracy NC.
Democracy North Carolina is a nonpartisan organization, and they focus a lot on voting rights, on access to voting, and issues surrounding elections and voting. They have many, many, many programs that they run, and they've been an integral part of the community for probably about 30 years. They have been instrumental in working with other partner organizations like the NAACP, the ACLU, the Southern Coalition for Social Justice. So they're in the mix of a lot of various issues that are happening, especially in regards to voting. They've got a great volunteer base. There are opportunities to get involved, minor plug, if people are interested in getting involved in the election. And it is nonpartisan, so a lot of people do look to Democracy North Carolina as a resource for information on elections that don't have the partisan lean.
Right. Well, good. So you are the Voter Protection Project Manager for Democracy North Carolina. Tell us a little bit about the job that you do. What's your mission?
My mission is to ensure that everyone who is eligible to vote can vote on Election Day. And to do that, we're running several programs, but the substantive program, the biggest program we're running is our poll monitor program. Mm-hmm. And essentially what we do is we recruit volunteers in the community to work at a poll site on election day. And we focus on areas that we think may have had election administrative challenges in the past, and also places that may have high turnout. And so we recruit volunteers. We ask our volunteers to sign up for a training, and they have on the bright yellow shirts that say, you know, their poll monitors, 888, our vote is the voter protection hotline. And so if someone has difficulty voting or has a question about voting, those are the people that voters can go to on election day to ask those questions. And the volunteers on the ground will direct a voter to the hotline. And we have lawyers on the hotline that can answer those questions. So that is our big election day program, the poll monitoring program. We also run the early vote hotline, and this is only during early vote. And we have staff attorneys from the Southern Coalition for Southern Justice, Southern Coalition for Social Justice, who come in and staff the hotline. So that same 888 our vote number, whenever someone calls, if it's during early vote, we have attorneys that run that, and our office organizes and does that hotline as well.
Very good. So, well, you and I know this. We're pre-recording this on October the 11th. And I believe we've got as we're pre-recording this, we've got a milepost date coming up tomorrow.
Yes.
So October the 12th. Tell us, this will be past tense when we actually broadcast this, but what is the significance of this October the 12th?
October 12th is the last day to register to vote. And actually, I have an update for you.
Okay.
For the counties that were declared a disaster area due to Hurricane Florence, there are 28 counties total. Those counties have been granted an extension to register voters, and that deadline is October 15th.
Okay.
It's only for the counties that were impacted by Hurricane Florence. There are a list of 28 of them.
Right.
But it's the voter registration deadline, and if you want to vote on Election Day, registering to vote on October 12th is one of the most important steps. If you've moved recently, if you have a name change, anything that would either add you to the rolls or be in addition to or change from something that the Board of Elections already has down as your information, mm-hmm. then if you need to make any of those changes, you have to do it by October 12th.
Okay. Is there, and so that there may be a misapprehension that there is some other way to get registered for this upcoming election. Is there any alternative or any exception to this deadline?
So you definitely should try to register by October 12th, and that's a postmark date. So as long as it's postmarked by the 12th, your registration will be received. And in addition to the 15th, for those 28 counties, there is also early vote. And during early vote in North Carolina, you can register and vote at the same time. They call it same-day registration. They also call it one-stop voting. But that's what everyone refers to as early vote. And so if you miss the October 12th deadline, you can go to an early vote location and anywhere in your county. So even if on election day you vote at one location, that doesn't apply to early vote. You can vote at any of the locations in the county that you are intending to register in and vote at the same time.
Can you give us some of the nuts and bolts of the early voting and the one-stop voting? Because I think that may be of some interest to our listeners.
Mm-hmm. Early voting is fantastic. Every county has at least one early vote site. And so if you go onto the County Board of Elections, you can usually find out where that site is, or on the North Carolina State Board of Elections website. Early vote goes from Wednesday, October 17th, to Saturday, November 3rd. Generally, the hours are Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. There are some weekend hours, but it really depends on the county. The weekend hours vary wildly mm-hmm. across the state of North Carolina. But there are weekend hours in many counties available. And the great thing about early vote is that it eliminates a lot of the problems that people tend to encounter on election day. You don't have to worry about showing up to the wrong precinct. Mm-hmm. There are precinct changes that happen every election. And sometimes the counties and the state does a really good job of letting people know what those changes are. Sometimes they don't. And there are instances where people show up to the wrong place and you want your vote to count. And so going during early vote, you eliminate that problem. And then sometimes people get busy on election day or something happens. And early vote is an opportunity to get your vote done early. And then on election day, you know that you're taken care of. And especially with the extended hours, if you have, you know, if you have to work or if you need assistance or just need some extra time, early vote provides that opportunity to do that.
Wonderful. So to our listeners who will be listening to this after October the 12th, remember that date, November the 3rd. You can still do one-stop voting, and so have you got is there someone that you can call at Democracy North Carolina to get more information about that? Would it be 888 Our Vote or?
So the 888 Our Vote line comes to my phone.
Oh, okay.
So if they call the 888 line between now and the beginning of early vote, I'm the person who staffs that.
Wonderful.
Or they can call my line directly because, you know, if for some reason I'm not in the office, I'll get the voicemail and I'll call them back. And my direct line is 919-908-7918.
Thank you so much for that. That's great. We appreciate that information. So, And suppose we don't do early voting and we go to our polling place and there is such a thing as curbside voting, isn't there?
Yes, okay. There is curbside voting. And curbside voting is actually available during early vote as well.
Okay.
During early vote, at every early vote location, there will be curbside voting and it's also available on election day. And curbside voting is really great because if for some reason you are unable to get out of the car, someone from inside the polling location will come out and they will bring the ballot to you. And all you have to do is make an attestation that it's you and whatever, you know, sort of requirement that people go in to make. Usually when you walk in, you go to the poll book, they'll ask you to state your name and to give your address. And that's essentially all you have to do for curbside voting. You don't have to get out of your car. Someone will come to you. And especially for anyone that may have a mobility issue or may just have difficulty moving around or going inside the polling location for any reason, curbside voting is available.
And the poll monitor will be there in the yellow shirt with the telephone number, 888 Our Vote. Is that right?
Yes. If for some reason you get to a polling location and there isn't curbside voting available, it's required to be there.
Right.
So that's one of the things that our poll monitors will look for, especially the people that come in during the early shift, the 6:30 a.m. shift when the polls open.
Uh-huh.
One of the things that they check for is to make sure that the curbside voting is set up and that it's easily accessible, that it's easy to find. And so if for some reason the yellow shirts miss it and if for some reason someone else misses it and you get to a polling location and there's no early vote, call the 888 Our Vote number.
Okay.
Because that's what we're there for, to make sure that those types of things are set up.
Great. All right. Well, so there is also a voting with assistance. I'm familiar with the rubric, but I couldn't tell you too much about it. Can you fill us in on that?
Yes. So essentially, anyone who needs assistance is able to take someone with them inside the booth to help them vote. There are a couple of restrictions. It can't be, you know, an employer or an agent of an employer. But generally, if you go into a polling location, if you have someone with you that you want to help, that's not one of the prohibited people, they can go in with you and help you vote, whether it's you telling them what to mark on your ballot or them reading what the ballot says. That is an option. And if you don't have someone with you, you can request someone who is working at the polling location that day to help you as well. If you make the request, they are obligated to do it. And so if for some reason, you know, you have trouble with that, that's also a reason to call the 888 number.
Okay. Is it too late to cast an absentee ballot?
No, it absolutely is not.
Okay, well, fill us in on that.
Yes. So absentee balloting is also another option for people who may not want to go on election day for whatever reason or not go during early vote. To request an absentee ballot, it's a couple of steps, though. One, you have to fill out the absentee ballot request form. It's available online, so it's easy to find. And I think some libraries do have the forms available as well. Or you can get them from your county board of elections. Or you can call the county board of elections, and a lot of times they'll send it to you. If you call Democracy North Carolina, I'll send it to you too. I've sent a couple of them out already. So you have to first request the absentee ballot. You fill out that form. You have to fill it out completely. The instructions are actually on the form. Sign it, date it, and send it back. Once you do that, the Board of Elections will verify that you are an eligible voter, your address matches, your name matches, and then they will send you your absentee ballot. The important thing to know about the absentee ballot is you have to fill it out in the presence of someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not supposed to watch what you mark, but that you marked the ballot. And so you need either two witnesses. Again, it can't be, you know, an employer or a union member. Also, if you are in a rest home or a nursing home facility, it cannot be the owner of the facility, an employee of the facility. It has to be someone who is not affiliated in that manner. And candidates also cannot be witnesses. But you need two witnesses. It could be a near relative, it could be a friend, it could be a neighbor. Or you need a notary. And the notary is not allowed to charge you to complete the to witness that form either. So once you have your ballot from the Board of Elections, you fill it out in the presence of your two witnesses or the notary. You sign, there's an envelope that comes with that ballot that you have to fill out. And so you sign it, you date it, and your witnesses have to sign it and date it as well. The cool thing about the absentee ballot is that if it wouldn't apply this year, well, it could. We don't think there are going to be any more elections this year. Who knows with the redistricting and all of that. But generally, if you make the request for an absentee ballot, there's a place on the envelope that will allow you to mark if you want to get ballots automatically for the rest of the calendar year. And that is if you are ill or disabled. And so say it's for some reason you're voting in March and you know that there's going to be an election in November, you can fill out that, you can check that box and the Board of Elections will send you the ballot automatically for the rest of the year.
Very good. So we've got a lot of friends in rest homes and nursing homes, and that is excellent information for them to have. Another question that I think is there's a lot of misinformation or misapprehensions about anyway. Voter ID.
Yes.
What is required and
yes.
What is not required?
So this has been a very confusing issue because the law has changed quite a few times.
Yes.
Currently in North Carolina, there is no voter ID requirement. No photo.
Mm-hmm.
Voter ID requirement. I have to clarify that. There used to be one. It was struck down by federal courts. And so you do not need a photo ID to vote.
Mm-hmm.
But you may be required to provide an ID. And the ID generally just needs to be a document that has your name and your current address on it. It can be a phone bill, a utility bill, a cable bill, a pay stub. Most Board of Elections might have a complete listing. There are other things that fall into that category. A bank statement is a popular one, too. So you don't need a photo ID, and you shouldn't be asked to provide that. But there are instances where you may be asked to provide an ID, again, just with your name and a current address on it. Usually, if you are voting in a county for the very first time, and you didn't provide either the last four digits of your social security number or your driver's license number on your voter registration form, that is a time that they might ask you to provide some sort of identification.
thinking a couple of steps ahead and in the future, and this is on my mind because my bride of 44 years drug me down to the driver's license office, and we got a federal ID. What is that all? Does that have anything to do with voting? Or is that?
Are you talking about the real ID?
Yeah, the real ID. Yeah.
So the real ID is mostly for traveling.
Mm-hmm.
The federal government decided that there needed to be uniform requirements for IDs, mm-hmm. and mostly for security measures, because uh-huh. they don't want IDs to be easily duplicated. And so the real ID is to make sure that the driver's licenses from various states meet the federal government requirements. So essentially, it's a license or an ID card. It's just got a little more security to it than the previous ones did. So you can use that if you have a real ID. It's essentially either an ID card or a driver's license, but it has enhanced security to meet uh-huh. other standards.
So that was not like a precursor of some voter ID to come, was it?
There probably are conspiracy theories about that.
Yeah. Okay.
There are probably theories about
okay.
that.
Well.
But what people should know is that on the ballot this year, there is a constitutional amendment, a proposed constitutional amendment for a photo ID requirement to go into the North Carolina Constitution.
Okay.
And so it's confusing because it used to be law. It was struck down.
Yes.
Now it's on the ballot to go into the Constitution. And so there's a lot of talk about photo IDs for voters, and it can be confusing.
Right. And not to confuse everybody any further, but that was the confusion 2 years ago, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
They had the law. Mm-hmm. It got struck down.
Exactly.
And, okay. So now the next initiative is to make it a part of the Constitution. So that is on the ballot.
It is on the ballot.
Right, right.
And one of the, I should say in all, you know, transparency, Democracy North Carolina has come out in opposition to all six of the proposed constitutional amendments. One of the concerns that we'd had with the voter ID amendment is that, you know, we're dealing with the after effects of Hurricane Florence,
mm-hmm.
and now, you know, Tropical Storm Michael is here. There are people down east who lost everything. You know,
yes.
you don't have a home. You're not thinking about, where's my driver's license? You're
right.
thinking about, how do I rebuild my life? And so one of the concerns that we've had is just how a photo ID requirement might impact people who have lost things in the storm. And, you know, there are other demographics of people. Mostly older folks don't have access to a photo ID. You know, there are a lot of different groups that are impacted by that, but just sort of most immediately and, you know, most relevant to the weather situation that we're dealing with now is the impact of Hurricane Florence.
Yes, yes. We were in New Bern this past weekend and saw some of the effects down there. So, and I think we have listeners down that mm-hmm. way. So we're thinking about you. And so we've got listeners who have motor ability issues. And we have listeners that have mobility issues. What resources are there for catching a ride to the polling place?
There are several organizations that do work on that. We have organizers in different parts of the state. Democracy North Carolina does. And they come up with their voting plan for their individual areas and their targeted regions. One of the things that I did hear that both Lyft and Uber were providing free or discounted rides to those who needed a ride to the poll. This is something that the Lyft I heard about a while ago, but I recently heard about Uber, and I'm not as familiar with the terms of what they're offering, but I figured the competition is probably a good thing. It helps voters out in the end, especially those who may not have a ride.
Right. Well, I Googled the
okay.
The Uber thing. Apparently it is in conjunction with Democracy Works and hashtag Vote Together. I don't know whether you're familiar with those organizations or not. I've not heard of either one of them, but apparently you've got to jump through some hoops and get an app, but the ride is there. There's plenty of time between now and voting day, so that's something to look into. Well, anything else you can tell us about getting ready for this vote, getting ourselves ready, getting the resources to get to vote? What else can you tell us?
Oh, wow. One of the things I would suggest is to have a plan, and having a plan to either fill out your absentee ballot or go vote during early vote or on election day. Don't wait till the last minute to do that. That's always the advice that I give, especially if you're going to do the absentee balloting. One of the things that you have to remember is that it's a process. It's a process. You have to request the form. You have to fill it out in front of your witnesses, and you have to send it back. And so allow enough time to do that. The deadline to make the request for an absentee ballot is Tuesday, October 30th. It's the Tuesday before the election. I wouldn't suggest waiting that long.
Right.
Because, you know, again, you have to send it, and then you have to get the ballot back, and then you have to send it back in.
Right.
The absentee ballots are due on Election Day, October 6th. Mm-hmm. If you mail it, it has to be postmarked by Election Day, but it has to be received within 3 days.
Okay.
So if you're going to do the absentee balloting, have a plan. Don't wait. Go ahead and make the request now. If you're going during early vote, know what the hours are in your county. And again, it's on the county websites. Most of them have it, and the State Board of Elections website. In terms of what's on the ballot, Democracy North Carolina works with Common Cause to provide a voter guide. It's www.ncvoter.org. It's a nonpartisan voter guide. We have them specifically for 11 targeted counties. We have them for all 13 congressional races. There's a statewide voter guide, and I believe there is also a Spanish language voter guide.
Wonderful.
And so if you just want to know what's on the ballot, learn more about the amendments in a nonpartisan way, go to that website and you can find that information.
Fantastic. Well, Raina, thank you so much. Our guest has been Raina Walters-Morgan, who is the Voter Protection Project Manager for Democracy North Carolina. And as you can tell, we have run out of time for today's episode of Legal Matters. So please be sure to tune in next time. Fourth Tuesday of every month is when we broadcast at 2 p.m. And we rebroadcast on the following Wednesday at 7 a.m. And we hope you've enjoyed the show and discovered information about your legal rights and the ways and means of obtaining equal access and full participation in your community. I'm Joe Austin, your host for Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are print and visually impaired. You can access our website at www.trianglereadingservice.org. And you can call us at 919-832-5138. 919-832-5138.